It's good to see you this morning. If it's your first time with us, today is going to be a very different Sunday from our ordinary Sunday. Ordinarily, we'd be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24 is where we're at currently, making our way through the Olivet Discourse, a sermon that Jesus, really a message that Jesus gives to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, discussing the end times, an exciting journey through that it's already been. And I was anticipating getting into it again with you this morning, especially on the heels of last week with our conference up in Auckland. I want to say a big thanks to those who helped with that. It was a great success. Really good things happened. I think some of you are even here this morning potentially from connecting with us through that, and we just want to say welcome. Let's pray. Father, words are not enough to say how much I need you this morning. I pray you give me the strength to say, Lord, what needs to be said and not to say too much. I thank you, Lord, that in those songs, we're reminded that there is victory in you. Whatever may come, Lord, we know how the story ends. We will be with you again. What a glorious truth to just absorb into our hearts, to live this life with the knowledge that we one day will be with you where there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, because the former things have passed away and everything is new. But God, what that tells us is that these current things, there are still times of sorrow and mourning. Certainly, Lord, this is one of those days. Father, we pray that your Spirit would be here to comfort us. In times like this, God, we need your Spirit more than ever. Comfort those, Lord, who aren't here, who couldn't be here today for the things that we'll be discussing. So, Lord, we pray that you'd be honored in what is said, honored in how we minister to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning's message was going to be brought from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 51. It's a message in which Jesus is telling his disciples that they need to prepare for his coming, because you don't know the day or the hour when he might come for us. This morning, as I was preparing to come to church, we received a call from Julia, and Richard was in an accident last night and he passed away. And I didn't know how to say it except to do it this morning with you. And the reason that I chose to keep it in this morning is because the last message that I received from him on Friday, I asked how he was doing. He said he's busy, but listening to Don Moen worship. He said, "Nice, bro, nice." And I said, "That's classic stuff, old school." And he said, "I must be aging then. It tickles my fancy, makes me cheerful, even find myself dancing, wiggling, singing to it. Praise God." So I just imagine him in the service this morning wiggling. I'm sorry. Richard was one of my closest friends. I can't say much about him in the negative. He was kind and generous. Loved our family deeply. There are tissues at the end of the rows. It's okay to weep. It's okay to mourn. Thank you. I just wanted to say a few things. I'm not going to take the whole time, because we just need time to process this ourselves, and we're going to go down and be with Julia this morning as soon as she's ready for us. A few things that I do want to say
We all have our questions, right? That wasn't the only phone call we got this morning. We got some others as well that were deeply disturbing and personal. But we have our questions. We always do when things like this happen. There are a few things that I know that we can count on. And one is this: Richard is with Jesus. I have no doubt in my mind, and that's where he is. I prayed with Richard when he came to the church and he responded to the message of the gospel. I was the one that led him in his first communion that Sunday. Him and I baptized him. I walked with him through some difficulties in his life. We counseled him and his wife before they were married. I officiated his wedding. We all have our questions, but his father took him home. I'm not mad at God for that. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." It certainly is our desire that Richard were here with us this morning, worshiping and serving with his hugs and his smiles. But he's not. He's with Christ. It's far better for him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, yes, well-pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, I think of that absent from this physical body is no doubt what Paul had in mind, this earthly, fleshly body that is corruptible and mortal. And there will come a day, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 15, where we will put on incorruption. Be given new bodies. He's present with the Lord. He's wiggling with Jesus. I never imagined Richard would say wiggling. If you knew Richard, I just can't picture him wiggling to a Don Moen song. Another thing that I'm assured of through Scripture is that we will all be with Jesus if we have placed our faith in him. That song this morning, I know how the story ends. We will be with him again. It's okay to sorrow, but we sorrow with hope, and we hope in the fact, in the reality, that we will be with not only Jesus, but with one another again. My heart grieves, not only that we will miss a friend and a brother, but with Julia's loss of a husband. Our separation is temporary. We will one day be joined together with him in our Father's house, and there we will be with him forever. Jesus says in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's speaking to his disciples who, really thought he was going to establish his kingdom at the time. In order to comfort their hearts with his soon departure, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He said, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Richard knew Jesus. He's with him. We will be with Jesus. we will see him again. And I suppose what we want to take away from this for ourselves this morning, outside of the reality, is that we're going to miss somebody dearly loved by this congregation, is the brevity of this life. It's a vapor. I didn't know the last time I saw Richard would be the last time this side of heaven. I didn't know the text message of him wiggling was the last time I'd hear from him. And as I said, the message this morning was one of preparedness, because we don't know when the Lord might return. The bulk of the message would have been spent on discussing the rapture and those sorts of things. It was a message concerning the coming of Christ for his bride as a whole. But today our Lord has taken a brother to be with him. And it reminds me of the reality that none of us is promised to be here tomorrow. Not one of us. Richard struggled with some things. Things probably more deeply than he's shared with many of you. I was blessed enough to be able to walk with him through some of those things. James chapter 4 says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." Time is short. Whether or not we live out our lives into old age, it still goes by so quickly. It's a sobering message this morning. The message for us this morning is that we ought to live in a state of spiritual preparedness, because we just don't know when we're going to go home to see our Lord. We prepare by ensuring that we're right with God through the blood of Christ, covered with the blood of Jesus. We prepare by ensuring that our family and our friends, that we've done all that we can to tell them about Jesus, to bring them to him, to love them well. In many ways that we can prepare. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Paul says, do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I think what I want to share with you this morning, and I don't want to hit you with anything that's going to make you more and more than what you're doing now, it's just the reality that we need to live soberly. And if you've been struggling in your life, maybe you don't have things right with Jesus and you're thinking to yourself, I think the greatest lie is the lie that says, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm young. I'll do it when I'm older after I've had some fun. Or I'm old, I've made it this far, I still got some time. Maybe you do. It's not promised. The scripture would warn you, warn all of us to wake up. Wake up. If you're fooling around in the world, if you're thinking you can just flirt with sin and it's not going to impact you, if you think that you can live one foot in and one foot out, I think that this is a good reminder to us this morning that the Lord wants us to wake up. And if you will, sell out for Him completely. One of the things, if there's anything that I could say negative, and I don't want to do this, if there's anything I could say that is negative of many of us, is that we think we need to struggle in our struggle alone. We fight battles, we just sang that song, I'm fighting a battle, you've already won. There are some battles that we do need to fight on our own. But there are many battles where I think we need to invite other people in to fight with us, alongside us. That's what the body of Christ is meant to be. Sometimes we think we're too strong. We don't need more people involved. We don't want to let more people in. It's just going to cause more issues. And sometimes it does. Let's be honest. Sometimes people cause more issues in our lives than we had before. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each shall bear his own load. We are ultimately going to stand before the Lord for give account for ourselves, but we also ought to shoulder the burdens of others, bear one another's burdens. Look, if you've been struggling, going through stuff, don't be too proud. Don't be so proud that you think you're strong enough to maybe handle everything by yourself. There are people in this room that love you. And I just want to close with that because I don't know what else to say. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for Julia. I'm going to pray for all of us. And I'm just going to leave you with this thought. That right now, it's not too late for you to get right with Christ. Now is the right time. If you've been met, if you know that that is for you, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to ask that you stand and we'll pray together. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, we want to say thank you because in all of this, Lord, we know that you are good. It doesn't feel good. We don't understand. We don't know what you're doing, but we know what you've done, and we know who you are. And we know, Lord, that you and your sovereign, your powerful, all-knowing plan, you've brought Richard to be home with you. And God, we're so thankful for that, that he's with you. He's not suffering in this body of flesh, he's with you. It hurts, Lord. It hurts us. Hurts Julia, God, I pray that you would just minister to her. That you'd strengthen her. That God, in those moments where there might be some element of blame or anything, taking anything on herself, Lord, that she would know that ultimately you are the one who's in control, not her. Not even Richard, God, to some degree. And Father, we are reminded this morning, we never would have thought the last time we saw him that it was the last time. And we're reminded, Lord, of just how fragile life is. As we mourn over our loss, we mourn with hope because he knew you. And Lord, I think there may be some people in this room who don't know you. or people who have fallen asleep and they're slumbering. They're not prepared to meet you. God, I pray that if they're here, today would be that day where they, as a prodigal, maybe they come home. As a stranger, they're welcomed in. And look, if you're here this morning and you just want to make things right with Christ, maybe you're not saved and you've never been, maybe it's something you've wrestled with, and you're just like, you know what? I want to live for Christ now. Or maybe you're a prodigal. You've just been wandering from Him and you've just been struggling with things and you know that you shouldn't be, and the Lord just wants to give you a sobering warning this morning to get things right, to wake up. Maybe that's you. I'm just going to ask you to stand this morning if there is anyone in the room this morning who wants to just commit their life to Christ, whether that's renewal or new. Is there anyone at all? Praise God. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? I know right now is not too late. And I'm not trying to scare you. This is reality. This is reality. Anyone else this morning? For these who have stood, Lord, I thank you for them. I don't know all of their struggles. God, I know some of them. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them with your Holy Spirit. That God, today would be a turning point in their lives. That as they've come back to you, as a prodigal coming to a father with his arms open wide, Lord, that they would actually experience your embrace. That they would live, Lord, soberly, considering the course that they put their feet on, that they would trust in you with all of their hearts and lean not on their own understanding. Father, that those sins which may easily beset them, God, that they would lay those things aside, that they would flee any kind of youthful lusts, and that they would live completely, solely for you. Father, if there are any more in the room this morning who were too embarrassed or too ashamed to stand, may you remind us, God, that we're not just meant to live quietly or privately in our lives for you, but publicly. So, Father, I pray that each person this morning would not only grieve with our own loss, but that, Lord, we would allow what has taken place in our lives and in this small congregation, as we've lost a brother this morning, to radically impact the way that we live for you. That we would be serious about our faith. That we would be serious about walking and living in purity and in holiness before you. That we would be serious, Lord, when we present our bodies to you as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to you as a reasonable service. Lord, if there's anyone playing games with one foot in, one foot out, that would stop today. Father, we thank you for the time you gave to us with Richard. He had a huge impact here. I pray for Julia again, Lord. Give to her a supernatural peace, which passes all understanding. May it guard her heart and her mind. Comfort us, Lord, as only your Holy Spirit can do. We surrender ourselves and our time to you, though. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be honest, I'm not sure what we do at this point. Clearly, we've only taken a few moments compared to what we would ordinarily take. Taka, I don't know if you're feeling up to leading a couple of songs. I've asked Taka without telling him why if he knew some Don Moen songs. Don Moen is, as I said, old school. I'm not going to ask that you wiggle to the songs. But this is in honor of our brother, and certainly in honor of our Lord. So as we grieve this morning, we're just going to close with just however many songs you're good with. Prepared one, okay. Do what you need to do. Turn to one another, comfort one another, pray with one another as we close with this song, and I'm sure there will be more of that afterwards.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway red in a wilderness, He is with me. And rivers in a desert will I see. When heaven and earth will fade, but His word will still remain. And He will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. His words with way He cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. By a road where in a wilderness He with me. And rivers in a desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but His word is fully made. He will do something to do today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
Thank you.
I can just tell you I don't know what to do now outside of saying, please comfort one another, mourn with one another. And the Lord will guide us through this. He'll make a way. Please keep Julia in your heart and prayers. Our goal today is to get to her, to minister to her. They're from Athenry, so a little bit of a drive. Please pray for us as well. We appreciate that. Okay, we will probably be leaving relatively quickly, so God bless you all. Again, for those who are new, I'm sure you can appreciate what we're going through. So thank you for being a part of it, and as well, we appreciate and covet your prayers. So God bless you. Please be safe as you go. Treasure and value the time that you have with those who are here in this room this morning and your loved ones.